Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Yeah, baby, it is Friday. The hashtag Friday Football Fiesta underway. I'm not gonna lie, kids. It got underway last night because Joe Flacco in the Cincinnati Bengals. No, it was fun. It was fun. It was fun. It was a fun football game. Fun baseball. Well, not fun if you're a Mariners fan, because 2 games ago I was like, oh, Lord, the Toronto Blue Jays are going back to Canada, very sad. And now just like that, we got a 2-2 split. Seattle wins 2 on the road at Toronto. Toronto wins 2 on the road at Seattle. And then Joe Flacco has last night the entire city of Cincinnati chanting loudly and hilariously, "Thank you, Cleveland," on TV. Spectacular.
I guess the coach of Pittsburgh, who was complaining about a quarterback being traded within the division, he knew what he was talking about. When I went to bed, Pittsburgh was handily winning, and I'm like, okay, this is embarrassing. It's like I missed a lot.
Joe Flacco, man. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco. Dude was in fuego last night.
Those white uniforms, too. I mean, it would be hard to play bad, and I know they have in the past, but, dude, those uniforms are – I do agree. I think those might be the best uniforms.
Hot take. They're overrated. They're overrated.
Yeah.
They are the worst all-white uniforms in football.
You're wrong. They are awesome.
No, they're not.
Especially those helmets. Those things are so sweet.
They're just white with stripes. Like, they're not great. I mean, they're fine. They're not all-time all-whites.
Without a doubt, they are.
They're absolutely
What's better?
In the NFL, I mean, there's not a ton of all-white, like, all-white options in the NFL, but, like, they're just plain jersey. They're just plain. Like, there's nothing about the Cincinnati all-whites. And I love me an all-color uni. Like, there's some great all-color unis. The Houston Texans all-red, one of my favorites.
Listen.
The all-white's kind of boring for
when
Cincinnati.
When you strip the ugliest color in the history of mankind from your uniform, you're automatically going to look better.
No. See, this is not your love of the white uni. It's your hate of things that are orange.
It's a combination of the two. It's a combination of the two. I think a lot of times you form an opinion on something like a uniform with both reasons in mind.
Nah, they're fine. They're not a standout all-time or all-white uni.
Well, since you couldn't name another one.
The Colts all-white is better than that. The Colts all-white with the blue numbers and the blue horseshoe on the helmet is better than that.
That's their normal uniform.
The Buccaneers all-white throwbacks are better than that.
No.
The all-white with the creamsicle is better than that.
Oh, that is so ugly. That's so nasty.
The Packers have worn all white, and it was better than that.
You're looking it up.
Yes, I am, because I have a bad memory, but I'm still right. The Packers all whites are better. The Bills all white with the silver is better than that. That's
no,
just
no, that's a nightmare for spotters.
No, I didn't say it was good for the guys on the microphones. I just said it looks good on TV. Their all white was better. You want to know how much I think these all whites are like they're just fine? Here's how you know I'm telling you the truth.
Oh, your truth.
The Dallas Cowboys all whites are better than that.
Nah.
The Cowboys all whites are better. The Saints all white with the black helmet, which is not our normal helmet. The Saints all white is better than the Bengals all white. Like, that's just a... The Raiders all white is better than that all white. This is like bottom tier all white uni to me.
I don't know how you could start a wonderful Friday morning and be so wrong.
You did it!
You did it! You're so wrong.
No.
Someone needs to... Aaron Rodgers was cranky old man last night.
Oh, dude, I thought he was going to get into Jalen Warren's dome last night. Like, I thought he was about to just absolutely beast slap that dude on their little trick play that went squirrely.
Also,
he was ticked.
His own lineman tackled him, and he got up, and I don't know if you've seen the video on that. He is not happy.
You know, the
tackle celebration from behind, he's 41. Come on, dude. Be smarter than that. You weigh like 400 pounds. Do not tackle your... could have took him out. That would have been it for the rest of the season.
I am going to say this. In the Icy Hot Bowl battle last night, which I don't remember what defensive player it was that screamed that at...
It was Cam Hayward.
Cam Hayward, Aaron Rodgers was doing an interview, a press conference leading up to this, and Cam Hayward screamed from the background. He's like, y'all both 40, it's the Icy Hot Bowl.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers did not look happy when he said that.
No.
He glared at him.
I am going to say this. I don't know if I want to more give credit to Joe Flacco for doing what he did last night, or if Aaron Rodgers wants to beat the hell out of his defense for what happened last night.
Yeah, because coming into the game, just listening to the hype on the most boring pregame show on all of football, I got to say, so boring, hyping up that defense, and then you give up that many points and lose the game at the end of the game.
They went 68 yards with... what was it? A minute and some change left. Joe Flacco took him 68 yards to hit a not quite walk-off, but pretty much a walk-off field goal with 7 seconds left to play last night. Absolutely ridiculous game. Last night was... I didn't expect a lot out of that game. I really didn't. And we got 342 and three tutties out of Joe Flacco. We got 249 and four tutties, two picks out of Aaron Rodgers. And in case last night wasn't enough for us olds, we had 41-year-old Max Scherzer go 5.2 with 5Ks last night for Toronto, turn back the clock a little bit. That was great. Dude, what a sports night we had. If the weekend lives up to Thursday night, boys and girls, we got a good one ahead of us, and we are going to talk about a lot of it this morning because it is the hashtag Friday Football Fiesta, but it's a spectacular Friday Football Fiesta because not only do we have the Friday Football Fiesta, but we do have the AL and NL Championship Series, both of them wildly interesting for very different reasons. The Dodgers get it done last night, once again winning a low-scoring game. 3-1 last night. The Dodgers get it done over the Brew Crew. Now they have the Brewers on the brink of elimination. Down 3-0 with two more to play in Los Angeles before they head back. We have got over on the other side a series that is now wildly interesting. And we've got a wildly interesting series in the ALCS because it looked like after a couple of games, it looked like we might very well have Seattle just absolutely punking Toronto. And then we go back to Seattle. And you're thinking, all right, Seattle's going to take one of the first two. In fact, I said on what, Tuesday, whatever day it was, before the series started back up in Seattle. I was like, I got to keep it a buck. I don't know if Toronto wins a game because the pitching for Seattle is good. They're hitting the ball well. And then I don't know what happened on that airplane for the Seattle Mariners on the flight back from Canada back to Seattle, Washington. But something happened, man. Something happened. Because now all of the sudden, the Seattle starting pitching is booty cheeks. Seattle can't hit the ball. I've got in two games, like Cal Raleigh's hit one big dong and nothing else. On the flip side, everything Seattle did in games one and two, Toronto's doing now. The starting pitching is aces. The back end pitching is nails. And the bats are white hot. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. right now is like somehow he has turned into like prime Griffey. It's unbelievable. The guy's just knocking the ball over the park and out of it. So baseball is exceptional right now. Last night, the Carolina Hurricanes get another win. They are 4-0 to start the season. 2-2 at home, 2-0 on the road, 2-0 at home. I would like to talk. We won't spend a ton of time on it because ordinarily hockey's going to pick up the pace quite a bit the deeper we get into the football season. It is going to pick up the pace, obviously, once baseball comes to its conclusion. But the Canes look good right out of the gate, man. The Canes look very good. 4 goals last night. You ended up having you have a Carolina Hurricanes team right now that is on top of the Metropolitan Division, it stands right now. 4-0. The Jersey Devils are 3-1. The Caps are 3-1. The Penguins 3-2. I'd like to talk a little hockey very briefly later on in the show. But we have a lot of football to get to. And I don't think we can start anywhere else other than Cade Klubnik listed as questionable tomorrow against the SMU Mustangs. Of course, the team that Clemson squared off with in the ACC title game in Charlotte, North Carolina last year, they will get a rematch tomorrow in Death Valley. Cade Klubnik dealing with an ankle injury sustained in the win over Boston College last Saturday. Now listed as questionable. Dabo said yesterday that if Cade Klubnik can't go, obviously Christopher Vezina is going to get the nod, said he's got to get it done if he's that guy. And this is interesting because what a terrible time if Cade cannot go. And even if he can, like if you've ever dealt with an ankle injury, even when you're good, you're not good. Like it lingers for a little while. So even if he can go, you know he's not going to be 100%, but if he cannot go, what's next? Like what's the play here? I'm not entirely sure how this whole thing shapes up. And I want to talk about that a little bit later on because there are a few Clemson fans in my life that I'm close to, and I have gotten a number of in-game text from them over the past few games where Vezina has gotten some play time late in the day. I have gotten a few texts from Clemson fans that go, I don't think Vezina's the guy. I don't think he's there. And this leads to...
How would they know?
Watching him play.
He doesn't play that. He hasn't played enough for you to form that kind of an opinion.
I mean, he's played enough against bad teams, specifically in the last 2 weeks, that I think you can look and say, and this is kind of the direction that I wanted to go. The thought for me is I have built or I have laid out what I believe to be the requirements of a successful head coach in college football. You must have a foundation of a great culture. Everything else has to be built on that. If your culture's crap, your team's crap. Bill Belichick. And then on top of the foundation that is the culture, there are four activities that a head coach must do. Player acquisition, player retention, player development, Saturday execution. Those are the four pillars. You must have all four. Back in the day, you might be able to maybe not get the best talent if you were able to develop talent that nobody else saw and build a great team and execute on Saturdays. Or like Nick Saban, maybe you're not a great Saturday game day coach, but you got great talent. And you developed that great talent Okay, fine. You can probably get away with that. Obviously, with the transfer portal now, player retention was added as another pillar. But this is why the conversation about Christopher Vezina not jumping off the page in his early play time for the Clemson Tigers. The big criticism, or at least my big criticism of Dabo Swinney has been recently that I see the culture, the foundation that is there. I do not think the player acquisition is what it used to be. And again, like, it's easy to have great player acquisition when you are on top of the game. But the player acquisition isn't there. The retention obviously is. But I think you're missing the development as well. Like, do we think that Clemson is developing players right now? And if the answer is no, and just based on watching this football team this year, my answer is no. If this team is failing to develop players, then I don't think it matters if you got Chris Vezina or if you got the next five-star recruit from anywhere in America that you wanted. I don't know that it matters. And so if Klubnik can't go, a quarterback who, for the record, has looked really good the last 2 weeks. In the past two games, Cade Klubnik is completing 81% of his passes. He has thrown in two games for over 570 yards and five touchdowns. He looks like the guy expected to. But this is why I said on Monday, I've got to see this offense do it against a team with a pulse. And the good news, for whatever it's worth, SMU has statistically the second worst passing defense in all of college football. Now, you will have to probably win in a shootout against SMU because Kevin Jennings is an athlete, is a bit of a dog. And this was my concern about the back half of the Clemson schedule. It is not that you necessarily have a stacked run of very good teams. It's more that you got a stacked run of very good quarterbacks laid out ahead of you. And it starts with Kevin Jennings this week. If that kid gets going, and again, I think it's fair to say the defensive front seven for Clemson has not lived up to the hype so far. They've played better the last 2 weeks, but again, against two really booty cheeks football teams. If that front seven is going to let Kevin Jennings do Kevin Jennings things, you're going to have to win in a shootout. Even against a bad passing defense, you will still have to be disciplined, still have to execute, still make the right throws. And so if you feel like Vezina, who has been behind Cade Klubnik, has not had the opportunity to develop, and if you feel like Clemson is coming up a little bit short on the player development front, I think you now have to be nervous if Cade Klubnik can't go. Cade looked fine the last 2 weeks. Again, trash-ass football teams. But both of these football teams that he's played the last 2 weeks and put up numbers against, both of them have better passing defenses. Shockingly, North Carolina has a statistical better pass defense, shockingly, than SMU does. But at the same time, this is a Super Bowl game for SMU. SMU would like to say that those two losses that we suffered earlier in the year to a pair of pretty good football teams, those two losses that we suffered, those are anomalies. That's not who we are. We are better than that. Well, how do you prove that? You go to Death Valley and you beat Clemson. And you know what can be done? Because it's happened twice this year. One of those times to Syracuse, a team that is not as good on paper as SMU. Again, love Fran Brown as the head coach of Syracuse. But here's the thing. Rhett Lashley last year at ACC Media Days, Rhett Lashley last year was a guy that after we did our interview with him and he walked away, both Lonzo and I said after that interview, I kind of like that guy. But that guy's kind of a dog. That guy's kind of a football guy. I don't think he's like a classic football dude like Brent Key. And I don't think he's necessarily like he's not an electric motivator like Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. But he's a football guy, man. Like, he's a football guy. He gets it. And I think the guys line up. They just lost their talent this year. So with all of that being said, I am intrigued to see what this game looks like if Klubnik can go. And if Klubnik can't go, we are going to break down the X's and O's of that game at length later on in the show. We will do the same with the Gamecocks and the Oklahoma Sooners. Is there a Cocktober surprise ahead? Can the Gamecocks pull the upset over the Boomer Sooners? Only 5.5-point dogs. I thought that number might be a little bit bigger. Something happening there in Las Vegas, Nevada to set that line there. So what does it look like? We're going to talk about that. The Carolina Panthers have an opportunity to do something that they have not done since around this time last year, and that is start a win streak. Because they got the Jets, a team that managed minus 10 passing yards last week, somehow. Can they do so? Yes. How do they do so? Let's talk about that. And then we've got, I want to get to here in just a moment. I got to give props to Deion Sanders. I've given Deion Sanders a lot of crap because I don't think Deion Sanders is a great X's and O's coach. I don't think Colorado is going to win by out-scheming teams. I think Colorado is going to win by player acquisition, player retention. Deion did something yesterday that I think is going to get him a lot of positive interaction, and I think he deserves it. So we will talk about that coming up here in a minute. I'm Rob Heaslonzo. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. Let's get it, people. The hashtag Friday Football Fiesta is on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
The Friday Football Fiesta is on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I want to play you a clip real quick because I think this is a very cool story. And I've got to pat Deion Sanders on the back. Now, I have been giving Deion... You know what? I want to take that back. I have not been giving Deion crap. I haven't. What I have said about Deion is I don't know that Deion Sanders is a great coach. Now, when I say coach, I mean sitting down, drawing up plays, scheming, tactics, changing up the game, tinkering in-game, etc. And on top of that, one of the things that Deion Sanders has done is put together a very interesting coaching staff because he does have a number of guys on this coaching staff that have high-level football experience. He does have a lot of guys on this coaching staff that have been there, done that. And I think he's got a lot of guys on the coaching staff that he trusts. But he has very few elite in-game coaches, I think. And so I've given concern about Deion Sanders at Colorado or anywhere else that he was to go. And I think this is the reason that, say, before they hired Mike Norvell, Florida State passed on Deion Sanders. because I don't think that you know he was going to be a great coach. I think he can be an excellent recruiter because he's Deion Sanders. And the one thing that I do think Deion Sanders does have going for him, despite the fact that when he showed up at Colorado, he brought, 70-some-odd kids with him. Despite the fact that this year, he's got a huge number of portal players on the team. And I'm not even saying that's bad. I'm just saying at this point, I think it's been relatively proven that if your primary source of player acquisition is the portal, it's going to not work out much more than it is going to work out. Mike Norvell at Florida State, aforementioned, has built the Florida State Seminoles out of the portal four times. It worked one. And it worked one because he happened to hit on Jordan Travis. So, with that being said, I am going to give Deion Sanders credit for this because the portal is, whether you want to lean on it as the primary source of player acquisition or a secondary supplemental source, however you want to handle it, the portal is real and you have to address it. So Deion Sanders is doing something, or did something, I should say, for the players on his team that do not get a lot of playing time. Understanding, I think, and again, I think there is a, I don't want to use this word because it's got negative connotation to it, but I don't know what other word to use. There is probably a selfish motivation to this. Deion Sanders set up a full game simulation scrimmage for the guys on his team that are not getting a lot of playtime. And before they ran this, he addressed his team to talk to them about it. So Deion Sanders sets up a full scrimmage for his guys that don't play much. He said, look, the guys that do play, y'all are going to go have a regular practice. But the guys that don't get a lot of PT, you're playing a game today. We're going to have the cheerleaders. We're going to have the band. The coaches are going to be coaching you. I want you running on and off the field as if it is a game. I want you practicing like we play. And he specifically said, I want to give you guys the opportunity to put some tape down. Go out there to have the best day you can have. Get some tape down. For those of you that have already decided that you're going to jump into the portal, I want you to have some tape. For those of you that have not decided that you're going to the portal, I want you to get some reps. For those of you that have decided I'm going to stay, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to be a part of this team. I want you to have an opportunity to go get some game simulation reps so that you're ready to roll. I think this is great. I do. I think Deion Sanders deserves a lot of credit for this. And yes, I do think that there is likely at least some percentage of a selfish motivation. That is to say, if you got a kid on the team that you know this kid's not going to play here. Like he's here, he's on the team, but he's not going to play here. If you give that kid the opportunity to put something down on tape that he can then take it. Maybe it's not to a Big 12, an ACC, an SEC, a Big 10 team. Maybe he's putting tape down because that player is going to step down a level. Hey, look, I couldn't get it done in Colorado. I'm not getting it done at a big school. I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to step down to, let's say, you know, I was going to say Kansas State. That's a pretty good team. I'm going to take a step down to whoever, to Missouri State. I'm going to take a step backwards. Now you can sell those teams as well, right? Because those teams have kids on scholarship that are staying. You've got to make the argument that they should offer you one in the portal. Going in the portal doesn't guarantee you a landing spot. You're going to need to prove that you are worth being picked up out of the portal. And now you get the opportunity. But what does it do for Colorado? It opens up a scholarship. It opens up a scholarship that Deion can either grab somebody else out of the portal or he can go recruit high schoolers from the area. He can go recruit nationally to get kids to come play for him that he thinks will play in the future. Here's the reason I really like this, though. Because if I am a kid that is, whether it's coming out of high school or that is in the portal, and Colorado's on my list of potential landing spots. But I know that I'm a depth guy, right? Like, I'm not going to be a star. I'm a depth guy. But I'm looking for somewhere to go. Well, if I'm intrigued by Colorado, if I'm intrigued by Deion Sanders, but I'm not sure if I'm a long-term fixture on their offense, on their defense, whatever, I now know that Deion Sanders is willing to do what needs to be done for me to have a chance to succeed, whether it's out Colorado or it's not. So when you take a guy like Deion Sanders, who the one thing I absolutely will give him a ton of credit for, Deion Sanders has yet to make me believe that he doesn't care about the kids that are on the team. Now, again, it wasn't all that. It wasn't always that way. Because when he got there, remember that first soundbite? I leaned on it heavily when it happened a couple of years back. When Deion showed up and he said, I'm here and I'm bringing my Louis Vuitton with me. Right? Basically said, I'm bringing my guys. My guys are coming with me. There are many of y'all. Straight up said it to the guys that were already on the roster. There's a lot of y'all in here that got to go on, get going. He said, y'all might as well go ahead and start looking into the portal to jump because you're not my guys. But the guys that are Deion guys, and I don't, for the record, that's not a slight at Deion Sanders. I think that's probably true of almost any head coach that's ever moved into a program. When you get there, the guys that are on the roster, those ain't your guys.
Well, absolutely, because they're given leeway for the first couple of years, mostly, usually, because they haven't gotten their guys in there. They're playing with someone else's recruits. I'm curious, will this become a trend? Will Deion be the only one who's doing this, or will other coaches start doing this too?
No, I mean, honestly, I can't speak for the coaches. I can speak for me. If I was a coach, I'd absolutely do this. Absolutely.
I think it's a good move.
I think it's a great move. I think it's a great move for on multiple fronts. I think it's a great move because, number one, you make it, whether it is true or not, and I do believe it is true with Deion Sanders, let's be clear. I think a lot of coaches out there have to fake genuinely loving their players. I think a lot of coaches have to fake it. They don't genuinely love their players. They genuinely love the money. Maybe they genuinely love football. Maybe they genuinely love winning. But they don't genuinely love the players. But Deion Sanders has a reputation of genuinely loving the players. And if you're on his team now, you are one of his guys. It's been long enough. You're one of his guys. After two big-time portal classes, and by big-time, I mean big. I mean like extensive. I mean large. After two big portal classes, if you're on Deion's team, you're Deion's guys. So this does further advance the Deion cares about his guys, even if you know you're not going to be one of his guys next year because you won out. So I think it enhances that message for Deion Sanders. The second thing it does is, I think it gives guys who are on the team but are maybe depth guys. As somebody who was on a lot of teams where I was not one of the primary dudes, my head basketball coach in high school called me the glue guy. My job was roster cohesion, and we need a foul. Brown, go in there. You're irrelevant. Go foul their guy and then come back to the bench. To get PT to a dude like that, to give an opportunity to go get some reps to a dude like that matters to a dude like that. So I think that you kind of connect with the young guys on your team that maybe don't get a lot of reps. And the third thing, like I mentioned, is if there are guys who have already decided they're going to transfer out, and I'm sure on every team there are at least a few guys because maybe they were evaluated poorly. And you said, oh, you got a shot. You're going to be a player on this team. And then you show up and you plug them in and you go, oh, it's not really a fit for you. Those guys now have an opportunity to go somewhere. Or a guy gets there, and it turns out that, yeah, they love Deion, but, like, they butt heads with their position coach, and it's just not working out. They got a chance to go somewhere. But on the other side, if that thing is true about that player, and this makes it not a good fit for that player, it also means it's not a good fit for that team. And if that guy leaves, that team gets a scholarship back that they can, again, pull somebody out of the portal, pull in a recruit. I love this idea from Deion Sanders. I think Deion deserves a pat on the back. Instead of just having a bunch of portal guys that are just going to leave and they don't have anything to sell themselves with, he's saying, I'm going to give you some tape. It may only be one practice. Maybe he does this 3-4 weeks from now. Maybe he does it again towards the end of the season. I'm going to use one of our practices to give you guys an opportunity to go out there. We'll have the band. We'll have the cheerleaders. Maybe we'll start letting some fans in. I'm going to give you all the opportunity to go put some tape down and go somewhere. That way you can sell yourself. That way you open up your scholarship on our team for us to use for somebody who does want to be here and will help us. And I can tell the next generation of players, parents, look how much I care about your boy. Even if he's not going to be a member of the Buffalo team, I'm still going to give him something to take with him or to help his career out in the long term. I think it's a great idea from Deion Sanders, and I think he deserves credit for it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
You don't need to Google it. Kurt Cignetti is kind of rich now. Kurt Cignetti signing an 8-year extension.
You're saying he wasn't rich before?
No, I'm saying he was doing okay before.
Okay, all right.
Now he is one of the richest head coaches in college football. Signing yesterday an 8-year deal with the Indiana Hoosiers that is going to pay him around $11.6 million per year. 8-year, $93 million deal for Kurt Cignetti. Makes him one of the highest paid head football coaches in the FBS, an annual average salary of about $11.6 million. Of course, Cignetti, who was the Big Ten Coach of the Year last year, he was, depending on the organization you look at, the National Coach of the Year last year, guided the football team to a 10-2 season last year. In fact, the only losses he suffered were to the two teams that would ultimately play for the national championship game. Made an appearance in the college football playoffs last year. This year, the number 3 Hoosiers, that is not a typo, are 6-0 heading into Saturday's game against Michigan State. And here's the fun thing if you're keeping track. And I do think that this is, and we will circle back around to this, I know, here in Una Momento. I think this is a bit of an indictment to some degree on the Big Ten. Indiana has 0 ranked games remaining between them and the end of the regular season. Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, at Penn State. Now, that would have been a ranked game, but they got James Franklin. Wisconsin and at Purdue. They do not play another ranked game, and they will be favorited in every one of those games, as they should, because Fernando Mendoza is the Heisman frontrunner right now. Kid's playing out of his skull at this point. Last year, when we did our college football postmortem, the one takeaway I had was, I think Indiana was a national championship team that just did not have a quarterback last year. That was the big problem for them. This year, they got a quarterback. Not only is Fernando Mendoza the Heisman frontrunner, he is now also the frontrunner to be the number 1 overall selection in the National Football League draft next year. That's who they've got running the offense. And would you look at that? The offense is now humming along. Kurt Cignetti is an interesting name because of 2 reasons. Number 1, and this I love. In fact, I want to play you a clip here because I'm going to go in like 2 different directions here. I'm going to do the weave. I'm going to go in 2 different directions at the same time. The first is Kurt Cignetti was a dude who was being mentioned as a potential replacement for James Franklin at Pennsylvania State University. Now, is Penn State still a premier job in the United States? I would argue the answer is yes. They got a great fan base. They got a great booster base. They got plenty of NIL money. They've got resources. They've got the facilities. They've got the amenities. They got everything they need. On the flip side, is Penn State a premier job in the United States? I, at the same time, in a weird way, would say, yeah, but also, no, not really, right? Like, they're not viewed like Ohio State. They're not viewed like Michigan, Georgia, Alabama. They're just not viewed in the same light, except by their fans. This is a clip about another head coach from OG Triangle Media. It is a very large podcast that covers North Carolina sports. A couple of fellas up at UNC, but obviously they do a lot of college football. And they had another name that they said should replace James Franklin at Penn State. Take a look, listen to this, and then I want to circle back around to why this lines up with the Cignetti contract story. So the OG Triangle podcast said Mike Elko, as if there is a reason at all that Mike Elko would leave Texas A&M to go to Penn State. Texas A&M has more money. They've got the facilities. They've got a fan base that is absolutely rivals Penn State, if it's not at this point bigger and more committed. They've got everything except trophies in the trophy case. And Mike Elko is lined up to try to change that. But I would also point out that it's not exactly like Penn State has any trophies in the trophies case that are recent. James Franklin won what? Like one conference title the year he got there 9 years ago and nothing since. There's no reason for him to go. And so then you kind of had to downshift and go, all right, but would a coach like Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, would he be willing to go? Because you could make the argument that Penn State is a bigger, better job than Indiana. Historically not mentioned in the conversation with the great college football programs of all time. But here's why this is now interesting. Because if I would have told you, even 4 or 5 years ago, even right when I got here, if I would have said that at some point in the near future, the head coach at Indiana is going to be one of the top 3 or 4 highest paid head coaches in college football, you'd have called me a lunatic at the time. You would have said absolutely not. But now he is. 8-year, $93 million contract. The reason I point this out is I think that a determining factor in years gone by of college football's hierarchy has always been what programs have the most resources. And that comes from TV money and it comes from boosters pitching into the program itself. But now the money is very spread out. We know that. Indiana just came up with enough money to take a head coach who Penn State, again, is it a premier job in the United States? Yes, but I would say like on the spectrum of premier jobs, it's closer to the bottom end on the list of premier jobs than the top. Indiana's not a premier job unless you want an 8-year, $93 million contract. Kurt Cignetti said yesterday in the press conference when they were announcing that contract that he plans on retiring as a Hoosier. 5 years ago, this would not have been a reality. 5 years ago, Kurt Cignetti would have absolutely been on the phone with Penn State or with Florida or with Auburn or any of a list of other premier schools that are going to have an open and vacant head coaching spot, Florida, by the end of the year or right after.
Why would he go to Penn State? He's doing exactly what James Franklin did at Indiana and winning enough but not winning the big games. If he was at Penn State, he'd get fired. But at Indiana, it's apparently enough.
Because 5 years ago, Penn State would have been able to pay you 40%, 50% more than Indiana. 5 years ago, this would have been a Penn State contract, and Indiana would have said, we can give you like $40 million for 8 years, but we can't give you $93 million. and 4 years ago. I'm not saying that no coaches are in it for love of the game. But I got to tell you, the difference between $40 and $93 million is $53 million. And like I've said, I'm a New Orleans Saints fan, true blue to the bone. Got a Florida Lee tattooed on my back. But if they called me and said, Rob Brown, we'd like to offer you $1 million a year to be the play-by-play guy, and the Atlanta Falcons, who I despise, called me and said, Rob, we'd like to give you $5 million to be our play-by-play guy, I'm heading to the Hotlanta, baby. I'm going to hang out with Ludacris. I'm going to be in the ATL with Outkast in the Dirty Dirty. Not because I love the Falcons more. No, no, no. I just really want to make as much money as I can doing the damn thing, right? And I think that that 5 years ago was a reality. Penn State, part of being a premier job was because we just have more money than most other schools have to throw around. And now it looks very much like that's not the case. Somehow Indiana found $11.6 million per year to give to one guy, Kurt Cignetti. And don't get me wrong, I think he absolutely deserves it. Why? That's why. He is winning. Now, Lonzo said, hey, you know, he's doing what James Franklin did at Indiana. Win all the games except the biggest games. Well, I would make the argument that it took a while to get to where Indiana was last year. They didn't have a quarterback last year, and you are right. They lost the two biggest games that they had to, again, granted, against the two teams that would go on to play for a national championship. So I think there's something to be said about that. But look at him this year. Look at where the Hoosiers are this year. They've had, effectively, two big games. Illinois and Oregon. They beat Illinois 63-10, and they beat Oregon by 10 on the road at Autzen Stadium against Dante Moore, who, by the way, is the second shortest odds to win the Heisman Trophy, at Autzen Stadium, which is a very tough place to go play a football game, against Dan Lanning, who is viewed as the next big thing in all of coaching, and he's not going anywhere. He's locked in. And it's also about the stature of the program. As you have pointed out a number of times, Oregon got a blank check from Phil Knight. They got all the money in the world to do what they need to do. Penn State, I'm not saying they have as much money as the Oregon Ducks do, but if they don't, it's not going to be far behind. Little old Indiana has never had those resources, but A, they just figured it out, and B, Kurt Cignetti is building something there. What happens if two or three years from now, Kurt Cignetti plays for 2-3 Big Ten titles and Penn State plays for none?
Well, here's the thing. Playing for them and winning them are two different things. And yeah, I mean, beat Ohio State, beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, do something in the playoffs, then you're better than James Franklin. If not, you're just James Franklin.
I mean, again,
you're more arrogant than James Franklin.
I think
you're just James Franklin.
I get the view you're coming from, but I think that, great one.
I mean, good for him of what he's able to do there. I don't think there is as much as you can't go to the school and win because of all the money and NIL and transfer portal has evened things out.
No, that's
to
exactly
a
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Indiana now has the opportunity to put a paycheck down
point
that Penn
is,
State would have.
Why would he have gone to Penn State? Because he can win how he's there. He can be James Franklin, which is what he is. But he couldn't do that if he went to Penn State because he would get fired. He's not going to get fired in Indiana. And he can go on and go 10-2 and lose to the Blue Bloods of the Big Ten. And he'll be fine.
I have two things. I have a statement and then I have a question that I would like you to answer before we get to the sports flash. The statement is this. Number one, I think that the viewpoint you have, which I'm not saying is incorrect, but the viewpoint you have is impactful if you make the assumption that everybody's on equal footing, everybody's on equal ground. In an NFL setting, 100% I agree. But in college football, let's not pretend Indiana has ever had the resources of Penn State. But the second thought I have is this. What is, because, and I'm not saying that you do, but this
anytime
seems,
you're saying you're not saying that you do, you
no,
are saying.
No, I'm not. But. No, I'm not. I'm genuinely asking this question. This is not a loaded question. It's a genuine question. It sounds to me as if you have something against Kurt Cignetti.
No. He's just James Franklin. Here's the thing. He hasn't done anything different than what James Franklin has done, other than win at Indiana.
But James Franklin was at Penn State for a dozen years. This cat's been in Indiana for like three.
Cool.
Like, that's not different to you?
Cool. If James Franklin hadn't been fired the way he was fired, Cignetti would have went to Penn State. Because it's a bigger name, and he could do the same thing. But he looks over and go, okay, I'm doing the same thing James Franklin is doing at Indiana. I could go over there and probably get more money, but I'll get fired over there where I could stay here forever, do this. And because it's Indiana, they're going to be like, we've never done this before. So they're going to keep
right,
me here.
Again, Kurt Cicinetti's been, this is his second year at Indiana. James Franklin was at Penn State for a dozen. Indiana does not have the foundation. I want to come back to this.
He's still a good coach. I don't understand why you don't see my point.
No, it's not that I don't see it. It's that I think that your point only works if you view Indiana and Penn State as on equal footing. And I think that is not the case.
I still don't know. It was never implied that they're on equal footing.
All right.
Because they're not on equal footing, that's why he wouldn't go to Penn State. Because the expectations are higher at Penn State than they are at Indiana.
Let's come back to this because I we're late for the flash. I want to come back to this because I do have a couple more things I want to genuinely get your thoughts on because I'm curious as to why you are where you are on this. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a minute. We'll get your water cooler cheat sheet. We'll talk more about this and other coaching situation. And as it is, hashtag Friday Fiesta, we start breaking down the football weekend. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Now, if Kurt Cicinetti did a sports flash, Lonzo would do it better.
Yeah, look at the jersey I'm wearing. Joe Flacco led Cincinnati to a 33-31 upset of the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. Flacco completed 31 of 37 passes for 342 yards and three touchdowns to Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Noah Fant. Aaron Rodgers went 23 of 34 for 249 and four touchdowns, including a 68-yarder with 2:39 left to play, before Flacco led a nearly 70-yard drive to kick the game winner with 7 seconds remaining. The Dodgers are one win away from a second consecutive World Series appearance after a 3-1 win over Milwaukee in Game 3 of the NLCS. Tyler Glasnow went 5.2 innings, giving up 3 hits and 1 run, while the Dodgers needed only 5 hits offensively. Toronto lost Games 1 and 2, but took Game 3 and 4 at Seattle to tie the ALCS at 2 games apiece. With an 8-2 win, Toronto saw 41-year-old Max Scherzer go 5.2 innings with just 3 hits and 2 runs allowed. Toronto had 11 hits, including Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s 5th homer of the postseason.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.